Will you join me now in a word of prayer? Spirit of the holy wilderness, Spirit of the loom, weaving us into the tapestry of life with the rhythm of our heart. While you are working, help us to be still, accessible, available, free from distractions, following through the over and the under of the rhythm of life in motion. Help us to understand that the temptations we face may reveal a deeper weakness within, may reveal a deeper emptiness, one that we must face before moving forward. Even if we are not always aware of your presence, help us to remember that you are always with us in that process. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. So, y'all already have a good beginning on giving up something for Lent. Just this morning, by springing forward, you gave up a whole hour. So, yay.
Sometimes the morning comes too soon.
It does. Although not everybody gave up an hour this morning, because I know that some people are missing today. Lent is a period of about 6 weeks preceding Easter Sunday. It works out to about 40 days, excluding Sundays, representing the 40 days that we are told that Jesus spent in the wilderness. It is a time of preparation, reflection, a time to repent, to turn around, to change our heart and our mind, change our ways of thinking, change our ways of doing and living. It is also a time of fasting and self-denial, a time to let go of some of the things that no longer serve us very well. It's a spiritual house cleaning. It's a soul cleaning. And it's a time to reflect on some of the very important questions in life. Good religion should always, always teach us how to do that. So Jesus is led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. And then what? We find nothing more from the Spirit in the story. And how many times have you felt led somewhere, and then when you get there, it's, what the heck? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Not only not a peep from the very Spirit that led you to that place, but then there's the devil, the accuser, that accusing voice within. You feel left on your own with nothing between you and failure but you. And that devilish voice that you hear in the wilderness is not your better self. Now, what is a wilderness? We may encounter many of them in our lives. It's a place where conditions are harsh, resources are scarce, our packed lunch only goes so far, and we have to live day to day and day by day. We have to let go of anything that we're carrying that weighs us down. Our distractions are minimized so that we can see things more clearly, and survival becomes our most immediate concern. It is almost always a very solitary place, a place where we face all of these challenges, feeling alone. Wilderness is also a frontier. It is a place of risk, adventure, and discovery, a place where new things are possible. It's sometimes a place that we try to avoid. Heck, we probably always try to avoid it if we can help it. And yet, it is also a place from whence good things may come. The wilderness can be a cleansing, birthing experience. John the Baptist came roaring out of the wilderness preaching. The Hebrews emerged from the wilderness as a free people, more unified and ever more willing to trust God. By wandering in the wilderness, Jesus was on a quest to find himself, engaging in a practice not unlike that of native and indigenous people, a vision quest. And often it is the hardest, the most lonely, and the most difficult places of our lives that provide us with such an opportunity to truly find ourselves, to find what we're made of, as long as we do not surrender. NASA gives all its astronauts wilderness training, not only to train them how to survive in a bad landing zone, but to teach them about themselves, to allow them to experience their strengths and their weaknesses, and to reinforce their self-confidence in surviving in harsh environments. Like the biggest one they will face directly after launch, the wilderness that exists beyond our atmosphere. The wilderness is also a way of getting rid of distractions in our life. Our focus narrows to survival. Only the most important things remain in front of us. So Jesus was led to a place of challenge, of testing and self-discovery. And the challenges that he encountered there, the temptations, were the very ones that he would be called to face repeatedly in his ministry. And that's important. These were not just some random temptations that the devil thought up spur of the moment, but rather the greatest ones for Jesus to face in the work that he was about to do. And these are temptations that many of us may face as well in the course of our own lives. Change these stones to loaves of bread. The challenge to use one's own power to one's own gain. The use and possession of power and authority to answer one's own needs, to satisfy one's own hunger when one is famished. We have seen this happen over and over down through history, and the end results are not pretty. Yet we keep doing it as a species because it is a temptation, an attractive proposition. We do it individually, and we do it as a nation. Because we're ultimately doing good, right? No, it's not okay. And we must face that. We must look at that, and we must shine a light on it. A light in order to cast our shadow and see our shadow. To know that shadow is there. It's a part of us. Not to be denied, not to run away from, but to be seen, faced, and embraced. Just as with addiction, the root of temptation is always there. Yet in that awareness of weakness comes great strength. And this temptation is delivered to Jesus, as with many, with a, if you are blank, then blank. If you are truly the only begotten, then command these stones to turn into loaves of bread. Wow, an identity clause. This is a dangerous tool of any temptation, no matter the temptation. If you're a technician, then you can fix this. If you are a doctor or a therapist, then you can cure this. If you are a minister, then you can explain this, or you can heal this. If you can, then you are. If you can't, then you aren't. If you are a woman, then you can do this, or you will like that, or you will look this way, or you will have this kind of body. If you do, then you are. If you don't, then you aren't. If you are a man, then you will do this or do that. If you do, then you are. If you don't, then you aren't. This kind of stuff is dangerous. And reminds us, just as it reminded Jesus, that we need to be strong in our own identity. Our identity, who we are, it needs to come from within. If not, we are truly vulnerable to all kinds of absurd temptations in life. Your identity comes from within, not outside. Don't let anyone bargain with your identity. Like that. Don't let anyone attempt to manipulate you with such a devil's bargain. Know who you are. And that is a process, usually not an overnight achievement. Yet it is a quality, I promise you, that we will need in order to survive the wilderness and thrive in life beyond the wilderness. And learning that lesson may make the difference between 40 days in the wilderness or 40 years in the wilderness. Now, then came the political power exchange, when we're offered power in exchange for our character. or when we have to sacrifice our integrity in exchange for power. Now, we may think, well, it's okay. I'm going to do good with this, right? Just think about it. If you could politically unite the whole world for good, wow. And all you would have to do is to surrender yourself to the very evil that gains it for you. Think carefully about that exchange before you engage in it. Now, that's not to say that you can't do good within a political or a corporate power system without being complicit in its direction, because Jesus walked that fine line too. But it is to say that there will usually be a sacrifice of some sort in order to constantly lean against the nature of such an organization or power structure. And the time may come when that price easily exceeds its value. Cast yourself down from this high place. God will tell angels to save you. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but we're tempted to take risks that we know we shouldn't. Sometimes we have the misguided belief that we are somehow blessed, favored, and protected above all others. That we are God's only child. That the laws of physics or the laws of the land somehow don't apply to us. There are indeed times in our lives when we all must take risks, and sometimes they are holy risks. But we must be aware that we ultimately bear the consequences of our actions. Like flipping over the tables of money changers in the temple. Or like protesting for a good cause, laying down in the middle of the street, defying a law for a better cause. If we think that just because we're doing good, we won't get arrested, well, then we need to rethink that. Sometimes doing what you believe to be good will indeed get you arrested, cuffed, and taken downtown. When I was just a child of 5 or 6, my dad saw me doing something risky, balancing high on the monkey bars with a group of my friends. My father called up to me, "Please be careful." My response was the tart response of a smart mouth preacher's kid. "I'm okay. God's watching out for me."
Amen.
Amen. Now, I gave him back the very words that he had told me over and over, but clearly he neglected to tell me the bit about not putting your God or your parent to the test. Now, awareness of risk should guide our steps as we move forward, step by step, not out of fear, but out of an awareness of the consequences of our actions. We should not simply cast ourselves to risk and expect to be saved simply because we believe ourselves to be doing something good or because we are a beloved child of God. There are indeed consequences to the things that we do, and we need to be aware of that. All through his ministry, Jesus was faced with these very temptations, just sometimes in different forms, sometimes wearing different faces. We want a sign from you. We want a miracle. We want more wine. We need more fish. Or if you are truly the only begotten, if you are who you say you are, then you will heal this person, or you will save yourself from the cross. Yet he had already faced that temptation in the wilderness. He emerged from the wilderness with a much better knowledge of himself and his character, and exactly what kind of Messiah that he was going to be. His character was tempered by trial, strengthened by obstacle and temptation, and in the harsh illumination of the wilderness, he was shown his shadows, his shadow self. And he exposed the shadow self, the ego self, and by doing so, disarmed the results. There is power, there is real power in admitting and facing our shortcomings, our weaknesses, and our temptations, not burying them away. In fact, in the very weird and wonderfully queer way of the universe, This actually makes us stronger. Anonymous and recovery groups know this oh so well. Regularly and routinely admitting, declaring, and owning their own weaknesses. And as a result, after years in recovery, producing some of the most sensible, alive, and self-aware individuals that I have ever encountered.
Amen.
Amen. By walking toward illumination and toward truth, they have seen and met their shadow. And as they move toward the light of truth, they know where it is cast behind them, where they wish to keep it. Get thee behind me, Satan. If you are not overcoming your temptations, then your temptations are overcoming you. And don't be so focused on giving up something that you lose sight of what you were trying to gain in the process. And know that some of the things that may provide the most momentary enjoyment, the most short-term pleasure, just like the internet, just like potato chips, are also the very things that may fill us with emptiness. They may fill us with emptiness and may provide the biggest distractions from the deep and truly beautiful life that we were meant to live. Crisis and the wilderness tests us in ways that we would rather not face and often brings us near to temptations. Temptations that we would rather not encounter. But these are the very things that help refine us and define ourselves. Ask anyone who has crossed the wilderness of the soul. Ask any gay, lesbian, bisexual, or trans person who has made their journey, gone hungry for love and acceptance, yearned for the affirmation of family and friends that never, ever came, who walked away from the voices and learned to discover for themselves who they really are. Ask anyone anywhere who has learned to stand tall and brave at the pinnacle of their true identity. As we begin our Lenten journey in community this year, I would encourage you to face the wilderness. Intentionally empty yourself and leave behind the voices that don't matter. Let go of an old self. Let go of the parts and distractions that must go if you are ever to live a life full of joy, a life leaping from inside into the shimmering world around us. Give up the distractions, the internet arguments. You know who you are. The idle anger that gets us nowhere, that spins our wheels and makes smoke but no motion. Probe the corners of your life for hate and prejudice, hidden hate and prejudice, things in your heart that we need to give up, things that tempt you away from your true purpose and your higher self. Let go of what you must let go of in order to rise above all the things that try to hold you down. May it be so.